At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Getting you ready for all of Sunday's betting action. This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin our number three of Sunday Bet Prep, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross, I am here at Circus Sportsbook, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Will Hill is out in the great state of Connecticut. Follow him on X at not the Will Hill. I am at D Ross Sports. Will also has a great podcast. Check it out. Shoulda bet more. Now, what a fun hour we've got. In the next segment, it's called a tease, people. It's something we thought of this week. And look, LeBron James, Lakers, going to talk about the NBA playoffs in this segment. I know it's a fictitious thing, this GOAT, who's the greatest of all time in the NBA. But it's a discussion that's been going on for about a decade, probably will go on until all of us are long gone. It's going to continue. Barbershops everywhere. So in this debate, in the next segment, we're going to give odds. These are fictitious odds. Nobody's taking this action. But what we think the rightful number should be in the GOAT discussion. And oh, by the way, it might not just be MJ and LeBron. Will's going to have his numbers. I'm going to have my numbers. And Dan Moneyline Miller is going to have his too. And the reason why we wanted Dan's input is, I mean, I know you're younger than me, but Dan's like 12.
Yes,
so 13. He's like a teenager, right? So we want to get the kids' perspective, the word on the street, the kids, because stay relevant, Will, when we get older. I want to get a younger generation's perspective, because you know what they're going to say about us, or at least me. Old man yelling at the clouds, oh, keep your old guys. So we'll have a GOAT discussion associated with numbers that we think would be playable, and we'll see if a third person can enter those boards. That'll be in the next segment. And then, later this hour, defend your tweet. Will's a great follow on X. Sometimes he throws some zingers out there, people. And I like to mix it up, too, in the social media realm. So we're going to have to defend our tweet. Don't know what those tweets are. Dan Moneyline Miller would be picking those. But let's get back to the NBA for this discussion, because we do have four games on tap tomorrow. And you and I have been trying to find some value in these games. That 6-1 is tricky. They are 4.5-point favorites now. You know, if you told me they were actually going to do something to Embiid, you know, he'd suspend him for a half, I don't know what you do. The guy tackled a guy. He just tackled him. No biggie. Play on. Nothing to see here. Total's 209. Okay. If you're the Knicks, I got to be honest with you, and I'm Coach Tibbs, I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off that, well, you can do that to our guys. That's just not legal in the NBA. What type of game? Because I look at the total, and I'm starting to think if they want to fight fire with fire, this thing could get ugly. I'm not saying it's going to be Van Gundy grabbing onto Alonzo Mourning's leg at Madison Square Garden ugly, but I'm worried about this game a little bit, that we might get something that doesn't look like basketball at some points of it.
Hey, if I'm the Knicks, if I'm Thibodeau, it's like in baseball. You throw at one of my guys, especially if you throw at my superstar, you know, you're throwing at my, you know, my Aaron Judge, or you're throwing at my Mike Trout. I'm throwing at one of your guys too. And like, an eye for an eye. This is the playoffs, and I throw in a big guy. That's look, you don't want to throw out an enforcer like in hockey, but if he's on the ground and he's got a bad knee, you know what? It's just a foul. It's just, you know what? You get five, six of them. You get six of them. And if you know what, you team me up, I'll live with it. I'd be out for blood. I'd be out for revenge. You're gonna come at my guys. I'm gonna come at your guys. I know that's that people say, oh, you can't be out to injure people. It's the first of all, it's the playoffs, and that's the reality of it. You're trying to win a series, and if he's gonna take shots at your guy, I don't see any problem with the Knicks, you know, fighting back. That'll be an interesting subplot. This series, I feel like you kind of hit on something. You kind of hinted on it. It's about to get a little spicy here, mm-hmm. because there's some bad blood. It's physical. There's a local rivalry. There's a local element to it. Thibodeau's teams play physical. Nurse is a hard-nosed coach. The rest of the series have really been duds. The games have been bad. This one seems like it's ticketed for seven. We had the crazy ending in game two. I don't know that either team is going to break through. Both teams have been close, but neither team has broken through on the road. Doesn't this just feel like we're sitting here in a week and a half, talking about a game seven? I kind of feel like it's headed that way. I do think Philly wins this game tomorrow.
I'm with you. And I think the way it's officiated is going to be a long way determining that total, by the way, 209, and or what they let go. I mean, look, you know, it was great having Marcus Hayes from Philadelphia in the first hour, and he said it. He said it, called him out. Joel Embiid's a dirty player. Yeah. Like, you know, nobody wants to say these things anymore. Right? Like, oh, you can't say that. No. That was dirty. There's no other way around it. And by the way, I'm not like Joel Embiid's a bad guy. He's a dirty basketball player. I mean, he hit Hartenstein in the nuts. I mean, yes. he's taking low blows. He's tackling Robinson on rebounds from the ground, grabbing legs and tripping guys up. I mean, that is, if Draymond Green had done half of that, he'd be in basketball jail today. I mean, people are like, you got to kick him out of the league. Remember those discussions?
Right.
Hadn't learned his lesson. This is what's so funny about which players.
Took his helmet off and swung it at somebody. I don't know if that was a different game I'm thinking of. That was a football game. It's funny. Embiid smiles. He's got a good quote. Seems like he gets his humor. That gives you so much of the benefit of the doubt with the media and just your perception. Like, oh, he's lovable. That colors people's views of these athletes.
That, look, it's right now, I would lean towards the Sixers in this game. Because, again, if you're like Joel Embiid, there's nothing you can't do. You're going to stay in the game. They're going to keep you in the game. They're not going to throw you out. So maybe they're on double secret probation. We'll find out. Because remember, if it wasn't for Draymond Green missing that great 3-1 comeback by Cleveland and LeBron and Kyrie, it's because they suspended Draymond Green for a game. They'd never do that to Joel Embiid. I mean, it is amazing.
The thing is, that wasn't a straight up suspension.
Right,
he had so many technical points.
It rolled over.
It just triggered the suspension. Yes, absolutely.
That's, and by the way, that was rolled over from the regular season, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But it should start off at 0-0, I would think. But that's neither here nor there. But it looks like Joel Embiid, if they're not going to call that, I mean, he got called for fouls, but if you're not going to kick him out of the game for stuff like that, Philadelphia does feel like they're in play. Dallas.
And it feels like with these series, just the last thing on this,
yeah,
it feels like when nobody breaks through on the other team's home court, the longer the series goes, the harder it is to break through.
Yep.
It just doesn't feel like that way. All right, you win your home games, we win our home games. It just, some of these series take shape or just, and some of it goes the opposite. We've seen Boston, Miami, where home court meant nothing. We're talking about Dallas, LA here, where in past years, those home courts have meant nothing. This is, you get these series where home court just holds throughout. It kind of feels like, you know, these home teams hold serve, and we're probably looking at a game seven here.
I think it's right on. It does get harder. And again, I'm glad you said it out loud because I'm that same way. I know in baseball, and I've had this discussion, I'm never advocating throwing at somebody's dome, okay? I'm not saying that. But if Joel Embiid's going to play like that, and I'm Tom Thibodeau, look, you don't want it to get to the point where it's screwing up what you're trying to do to win the game. I get that.
Right.
But I would say, hey, guys, if they start to go ahead, like, at some point, you got to hold your ground. And the Knicks, I was a little surprised. I was like, wow. Even when it got ugly in the fourth quarter, that there was no retaliation. I wonder if we're going to get some of that chippiness in game four. I think we're going to get some of it.
Plus, he's got a bad knee. You say, you know what? Hey, guys, just a reminder, he's got a bad knee. I'm not saying do anything. Just a reminder, he's got a bad knee.
Yeah, he's going to tackle you. Yeah.
Yeah, just check on it. And people say, oh, this is politically incorrect. Look, this is sports. Sports, the locker room.
Trying to win.
It's not always politically correct. Yeah. You're not only trying to win. Look who's ahead of you. You're looking at the Pacers, or let's just call it the Pacers, unless Milwaukee gets their guys back. I mean, you're looking at, especially for the Knicks, we got home court against the Indiana Pacers for a chance to go to conference finals. I haven't been to the conference final since what they made the finals in 1999. Just top of my head for the Knicks, this is a big deal to get to a conference finals. Again, Indiana's not a bye, but there's a lot at stake. It's almost like this is a double series. So yeah, this is this will get interesting. I think this is going to shape up to be the best series in the first round, which has been just really, really, really disappointing otherwise.
Get ready for it, Will. I can see the headline tomorrow. Will Hill says Nick should take out Joel Embiid's knee. It's going to be out there. Clippers are getting six against the Mavs tomorrow. I'm with you now. I kind of felt like, boy, Clips game one, they're back into it. You get Kawhi back. Don't even know about Kawhi now. This feels like one-way traffic to me.
It's hard to envision a scenario where the Clippers being competitive with this version of Kawhi. Now, if he just rolls out of bed and all of a sudden it's the Kawhi from the middle of the season that looked like one of the best players, one of the maybe the best or two or three best players in the sport, okay, we have a series, but that seems like the underdog, doesn't it? He looks rusty. He looks old. The Clippers look old. George hasn't played well. That's a loud building. It's a hard place to win. And hey, we've seen Luka push the Clippers teams that were much better than his teams in the past. Now Luka's kind of got the better team here. Now when the Clippers are fully healthy, okay, maybe the Clippers are better, but Luka's got a better supporting cast. This Clipper team is not the same team. Maybe the Clippers win a game, another game in the series, but this feels like either Dallas in five or Dallas in six. Dallas is kind of taking command of the series. I'd only look towards Dallas in game four.
Who is PG-13 these days? What is he? You know what I mean? Like, I know we always talk about Kawhi.
He's always been a hot and cold player. He's a good player, but he's a very inconsistent player.
Pacers, you ready to run to the window and lay 9.5 against the Bucks without Dame and Giannis?
No, it feels like there's a way to play it besides that. Could you play Milwaukee maybe on the team total under figure?
Mm.
Without those guys, they'll just try to slow the game down, muck it up. But that's not a great roster. They're very slow. They're very unathletic. I don't love laying 9.5. And we've seen teams with their stars underperform the other team, or they take the other team lightly or whatever. I'd probably lay it before I took it. I don't think I'm going to bet this game, though.
216.5. I feel like if you want to go correlated play, the only shot would be Bucks and the under. You got to slow them down because you can't run with those kids. T-Wolves, it's up to two. It was 1.5. Now it's up to two. Have we surrendered in the Valley of the Sun?
I would think so, but I kind of thought that way with Denver, LA, and LA. Denver was the team that didn't show up. I don't like getting involved in 3-0 games because sometimes the team that's down 3-0 says 1-2-3 Cancun. Sometimes the team that's up 3-0 says, you know what, we got our game here. We'll go home and finish in game five. So you never know what kind of motivation, what kind of effort you're getting. Game fours when it's 3-0 are very tricky. I lean towards the Timberwolves again. I don't know that I'm going to bet it here. What a absolute embarrassing performance from the Suns in this series in game three.
Didn't the Suns want to play the T-Wolves? Wasn't it like that? Oh, we dominated them, played them last game of the regular season, right? And all that, we beat them every day. How'd that work out? Not so well. When we come back, the GOAT odds board will be up. Get ready for the debate and see where your fake money would go. That's next here on Sunday Bet Prep.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What are you waiting for? VSiN.com. We got best bets, betting splits, 6 exclusive articles, odds by all the states that are legal, betting tools and betting guides each and every day to get you ready for your betting day. So if you haven't done so by now, you should check it out every single morning to start your wagering day at VSiN.com. Back alongside Will Hill, Dave Ross here. And this was a conversation that kind of got spurred a little bit by LeBron James. Because again, as great as LeBron is, and we don't know, this is the end of the line, 39. They're down 3-1. Kudos to the Lakers. They win cover today. And they're going to go back to Denver to try to keep something going. Never been done before. Come back from 0-3. Maybe if LeBron does that, these odds that we're going to put up on your screen could be subject to change. But it is that all-time barbershop conversation. And for the sakes of this conversation, if you want to get at us on social media, by all means, feel free to do so. We came up with what I think is the rightful 3 that should be in the conversation. I know it feels like it's been relegated to just 2, to Mike and LeBron. But, Will, before we give the odds, are we in unison that there should be a 3rd historically in this debate?
Yeah, I know people will say, hey, if it's all about rings and people use this against Jordan, when you talk about Jordan, you talk about the championships, people say, hey, if it's all about rings, where's Bill Russell? He won, 11 of them. So you want to put Kareem on there? I have no problem with that. I didn't see him play, but it's
you didn't see Kareem play? God, I am old.
No, I'm 38 years old. I missed him. I saw him in Airplane, but
he was great in Airplane.
He was.
That
he
could
was
be the deciding factor. Okay, so this is my odds board, and then we're gonna get to Will's, and we're gonna get to Dan Moneyline Miller's. My odds board for the GOAT conversation. It's MJ. And I think that LeBron's argument is depreciating, even in his great longevity. I know that seems counterintuitive, but I think it's actually hurting LeBron, the Laker legacy, I put in air quotes, with the bubble title. It's weird, because it shouldn't be, because he's still great. I love watching LeBron play. This is not a knock. This isn't for the all-time GOAT. I think MJ should be a 4-1 betting favorite. You want plus money on LeBron? I'll give it to you, plus 275. But I want to make a case right here for Kareem, a guy that I hated growing up. Hated. I was a Sixer guy. I was a Dr. J guy, right? I got Kareem at plus 550. I actually think out of the betting numbers, the best bet to make would be Kareem. And you want to know why, Will Hill? Okay, so what's MJ got? 6 NBA titles, right? How many's LeBron got? 5?
4. How many?
4. How many's Kareem have? 6, tied with MJ. Okay, let's get to league MVPs. How many does Mike have? Mike has 5? 6. Mike's got 6 MVPs. 6 finals MVPs. Okay? He's got 5 MVPs for the league. 6 for the finals, 5 for the league. Kareem has 6 for the league. Kareem has more titles and more individual MVPs than LeBron. And I know LeBron beat his scoring record because, Kareem had that. That was Kareem's, okay? He had the most unblockable shot, I would argue, in the history of the game. Maybe the dream shake, the baseline jumper from Hakeem Olajuwon. But I think the sky hook. And one other thing, they switched rules in the NBA because of Kareem, not because of LeBron or Mike. There was a time you are not allowed to dunk the basketball. That's Will Chamberlain kind of, and Kareem, power, and arguably the greatest high school basketball player of all time at Power in New York City. You know that area there in the Northeast. And arguably the greatest college basketball player of all, argument with Bill Walton. I think you make those arguments. At UCLA, there was never a level of basketball that Kareem was never at the top. Michael was not that at UNC. Mike was great, and they won a title. But the old joke when I was a kid was the only person can stop Michael Jordan is Dean Smith, right? And then LeBron, we never know because he went right from high school. So those numbers to pass Kareem, he had more time to do that. Some are going to make the argument that that's because his longevity, but he also started much younger than those guys did. right? Than Kareem, because they had college careers and MJ had. So I actually can make just a good argument that Kareem is actually the GOAT, but I know the kids, and I can't wait to get to Dan's list too, don't see it that way. Will, what are your numbers? And I want to hear your arguments for your three.
I meant Jordan, a minus 300 favorite, LeBron 2-1, and then Kareem 9-1. I do think a lot of this, it's not really even about basketball. You're kind of proving the point a little bit, and I think Bill will prove it even further. A lot of it's not basketball. A lot of it's generational. If you're 45, 50 or older, you're a Jordan guy. If you're like in your 30s or younger, you're a LeBron guy. There's even a fragment of people that, oh, Kobe's my guy. Kobe wasn't as good as these players.
No.
Kobe, great player. Obviously a great player. We're talking about all great players here. But I think LeBron has a case where, hey, there was a time, and he's past that now. You know, he's getting swept. He's losing early. But there was a time in his prime where you could basically put him on any team in the league and get him to the finals. I know he's not – four is not as many as six, but longevity, the versatility, all-time great player. I could listen to a case for LeBron being one. I just go with Jordan because unless you watch them, it's hard to explain. There was an invincibility, and I didn't root for him. I didn't like Jordan. I didn't like rooting for the Bulls. I rooted against them. There was an invincibility with Jordan where it felt inevitable. It felt impossible to beat him. It almost felt like he was a superhero, where it just took a superhuman effort to beat him. It felt impossible. So I will go with Jordan as the minus 300 favorite just because of that aura that Jordan has that LeBron doesn't.
I have no problem with any of those arguments. And I would say this too. I know that the other argument is, well, LeBron's been there more, so he's lost more. MJ was 6-for-6. Kareem did have magic towards the end of his career, but people forget the last title, Kareem was great. I mean, even an old man Kareem was still great against those great Celtic teams with Bird and Parrish and McHale and Hall of Famers all up and down that Celtic roster as well.
Right.
So let's get to it. Let's get to Dan Moneyline Miller's odds board, because this is the kids. No disrespect, I kid when I say that, but a younger generation than you and I. Then even, you know, I'm the old guy in the room. I'm the Clint Eastwood of the group. You're in the middle. And then we got the new blood with the Dan Moneyline Millers. So Dan's got an odds board for where he thinks it is. And this is, wow. Mike is the fave, but minus $1.15.
He went with a cop-out. It's a little bit of a cop-out.
You think he copped out?
A little bit.
And then LeBron at $1.05. Let me give some tip of the cap to the youngsters. Kareem at 3-1. I like that. That's a respect. That's a nod to the history of the game. He would be a dominant center in today's game. There's no doubt about that. And Kareem could shoot it. Like, people forget that. Kareem could actually shoot it. I mean, that skyhook, it's not just all from 3 feet. He can do that from the baseline. He foul line sometimes extended a little bit. Kareem had some range more so than people actually remember. So he would be a dominant center. What about the argument of playing in any era? Do we debate that all three of these guys would be? What would Jordan be today?
Oh, he'd score. I don't know that he averaged 40, but like you could hand check back in the 90s.
Yes.
You can't hand check now. Here's the thing, though. He wasn't a three-point shooter with like just the math of it. Hey, you got to shoot threes. He'd have to shoot a lot more threes, which kind of speaks to why the game's not as fun to watch. Do we really want to watch Michael Jordan shoot threes? No, we want Michael Jordan to drive on people and dunk on people, which kind of why the game is homogenized now where it's all three-point shooting. Like Jordan would have to shoot a lot more threes. He was not a three-point shooter. Famously, he made those threes in the finals, and he gave that shrug. Why did he give that shrug? He didn't make a lot of threes. He didn't take a lot of threes. So it just kind of shows you the difference of the era, where he have to adapt his game and be more of a three-point shooter, which is not what we want to see from Jordan. One last thing I'll just say. He's not in this conversation. He doesn't belong in this conversation. But for like any given year in his prime, there's somebody that comes to mind. When Shaq was in shape and in his prime, these guys are not that far above him. Shaq, skinny Shaq, run the point, just absolutely dominant on defense, dominant on offense. Again, he got out of shape early in his career. He was kind of a goofy, lovable guy. He loved the game, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
Shaq's prime gets lost where, you know, he could be in this mix, the best of the best.
No, I think that's a different discussion of peak,
yes.
Like peak Shaq. Longevity.
Would you agree with that or no?
Yeah, for peak. If we're like looking for highs of highs, yes. Because Kareem did it for decades.
Right.
I mean, he did it, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s, into the 80s, right? Mike did that, but Mike's was a little bit shorter. That run was a little bit shorter because Carolina was 83, and when's the last Bulls victory? So it was like a, you know, 13-year window, right? LeBron's done it a longer period of time, spread him out a little bit. But I, whether it's fair or not, you know, Shaq winning in L.A., it is big. It's LeBron winning in L.A. doesn't feel like the same as Shaq winning in L.A. Whether that's right or wrong, it just isn't. The one argument you can make for Kareem and LeBron that Mike can't make is Kareem's won multiple titles with multiple franchises. So did only LeBron and Kareem did that. Kareem won with Milwaukee well before Giannis. Lou Alcindor, he won there. And then, of course, he had all that great success with the Lakers to get to six. LeBron did win in Cleveland. I give him full kudos to that. So, fascinating discussion. I love the odds board. And I think we got the right three, though, on that board for the GOAT. So let us know what you think about that. But when we come back, it will be time to defend your tweet. Next, here on VSiN.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue Sunday Bet Prep. Dave Ross and Will Hill here. This is the segment sweeping the nation, putting social media on edge each and every week. Because, Will, it is time to defend your tweet.
In the digital realm of social media, certain posts are viewed as particularly bold. In the world of X, there exist two bettors ready to stand by their words, no matter how contentious. These are their tweets.
I swear it gets better every week. It makes me laugh when you listen to the words of Ryan Hunter with a great voiceover there on that intro. Because, you know, in the world of X, he nailed it. We didn't give him a script. Ryan and Dan Miller, I'm assuming, wrote that, right? And in the world of X, it's contentious. I mean, people, you always say this, Will. Like, I will never tell you to not take offense to something I say. You can take offense. I might not have meant to offend. But people get offended by anything. I mean, they just get offended, right? So I'm like, I don't want you to be offended. But when people are on X... How dare you say that, says Dan in my ear, right? And people just jump on you, and they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. It's like, dude, relax. It's just X. It's not real world. But I believe I'm going to have to defend my tweet. So, Will, I don't know what Dan Moneyline Miller has picked, but it's going to populate here. Oh, no.
I'll read it. Does anyone else yell like someone lifting too much weight when they simply stretch? Then we got a couple emojis and a hashtag just me, followed by a large gentleman lifting a whole lot of weight. Dave Ross, defend your tweet.
Okay.
You're not suspended still, by the way.
I'm a bachelor. Okay. So sometimes I will say some of the things that if somebody had a camera in my house, they'd say that guy's crazy. They'd say that because I do make myself laugh sometimes, and I stretch every day. I try to do 100 push-ups and I try to do 2 minute of plank every day. And when I just to go down for the first one, it's almost reflexive. I go, no reason. There's no reason for it. I don't need the audible, but I do it. And it makes me chuckle. Right. And I think what the picture, if you can see this, hopefully you're watching, you can see how many times, Will, when you're in the gym and the meatheads, what do they do? Arr! It's like, dude, it's not that much weight. Right. So that's kind of the environment I grew up in Virginia Beach, going to gyms as I was tiny. I mean, I'm 77 pounds as a sophomore in high school. So I'd go to the gym to get to where I am today, this huge mass before you. And I would see all these meatheads, and they're all grunting and growling. And I'm like, I don't do that. So I think now, because nobody can see me, I do that reflexively to get back on all those meatheads when I was a kid going to the gym. I spotted Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, once. Nate. And he wasn't a big grunter or anything, but, you know, he get he let some stuff out. And then I'm like, all right, one more. And I'm got my hands underneath Ric Flair's elbows. And by the way, if Nate couldn't push the weight, I couldn't have helped him. But I was there for moral support. But that's more of a weight room thing, right? You see those people. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do know, and by the way, this is just an aside. You have met everybody. We can't. There's nobody that comes. I met him. I interviewed him in D.C. Oh, I talked about him. I used to do the weather.
I need to write a book.
There's a little Forrest Gump. We need a. Somebody needs to do a little GIF or a meme of like Forrest Gump with Dave Ross's face superimposed on it, because you got all the stories. You know everybody.
I will tell you this. I feel like I've led a charmed life. That was my childhood, because the wrestlers in Virginia Beach, to take behind the curtain, I went to this gym called Waring's Gym. And, I'm 14, 15 years old, and Bobby Waring ran the gym, God rest his soul. Bobby was so kind to me as a kid when he didn't need to be. And this was a real, I say it with affection, this is a meathead gym. And the wrestlers back then in the 80s would go to the Norfolk Scope, and they'd come to town to wrestle. And they'd all work out at Waring's Gym. And I remember, I'm 15 years old. I go upstairs and I see Ivan Koloff, for those of you that remember the old school wrestling. And Ivan Koloff was on the leg machine right by the water fountain. I'm going to the water fountain. So as I pass Ivan Koloff, who's got a Russian sickle tattoo on his shoulder, I go, hello. And he goes, he grunts at me. And then I get my water and I run back downstairs. I go, Bobby, that's Ivan Koloff. And he goes, yeah. And I go, is he from Russia? And he goes, no, I'm Minnesota. And that's when I started to realize that what I thought I knew, Will, was not in fact. Nikita Koloff, he was grunting. Rah! He's doing all these flies in front of the mirror for everybody to see. Ivan's on the leg press. I thought they were from Russia. I believed it all. Like they say, you're supposed to believe everybody now when they say, I believed everything as a kid. I was the most gullible kid ever. And that was the first window into professional wrestling not being real. It kind of spoiled Christmas in a way, because I wanted to believe it to be real. They were from Minnesota. So did I defend my tweet?
You defended your tweet so well. I think we should maybe just go to break early. I don't know that there's any need to really continue the segment.
So I grunt because of guys like Ivan Koloff and Nikita Koloff. All right, well, I need you, sir, to defend this tweet. March 3rd at Not The Will Hill. Oh, my goodness. You tweeted, Cavs have to be the phoniest 39-20 team ever. Losing at home to the Knicks JV team after being completely embarrassed by them last postseason. Any future bet on them is charity. Ooh, Will Hill, defend your tweet.
I will defend my tweet. Orlando Magic 112, Cleveland 89, series tied at 2. Okay, this is the Orlando Magic. This isn't the 2017 Kevin Durant, Steph Curry Warriors. Okay, this is a complete phony team. This is why the Celtics, even though they have their issues, are going to march to the finals, because there's nobody in their way. Okay, maybe winner Knicks and Sixers can make a run, but people can get caught up in the NBA regular season and the net rating, and they watch this game in January and they look good. The NBA regular season has no connection to the postseason. It's a completely different sport. That team is completely phony. They are not a contender. I know people making the case, hey, they could, make a run worth a flyer on a future. They are not. They are a complete phony, and maybe they'll get past the series with Orlando, but that is a very flawed team. And Mobley, who everybody loved, is really not developed here in his, second or third year? So third year. Not a fan of the Cavs, and I am being proven right, whatever happens the rest of the way here.
Cavaliers are 17-1 to win the East. They are
At Not The Will Hill, DMs are open. I'm happy to book any of your action.
If they had won the division, if they had played out the rest to win, would you have had a different opinion about them? Because it felt like they did that in order to get the series, and now all of a sudden they're in a dogfight in the series that they said they wanted.
What's the old game? Choose your fighter. They chose their opponent here. They definitely did. And that's probably the right move. You'd rather play the Magic than the Sixers, but Mitchell's a good player. He's not a great player. Mobley hasn't developed. They're good. They're okay, but the idea that there's some contender, they're one of the worst things you can be is kind of stuck in the middle. Hey, we're not bad enough to rebuild. We're not good enough to actually compete. They're just kind of in the middle here.
Phoniest 39-20 team ever is harsh, ever, right? That's the hard truth of it. But I got to be honest with you. I think you not only defended your tweet well, it kind of is being proven. Because, again, you made this tweet When was this tweet again, Dan? You said it was March 3rd.
I remember what happened, too. They were playing the Knicks. Brunson got hurt, so I put a whole bunch of money on the Cavs on the live money line, and they got run out of the building. So I was angry tweeting at my Cavs.
By the way, are you nervous that Dan went all the way through the archives to March?
No, I retweeted it this afternoon. I found it. I went through the archives today.
Oh, I was going to say, because that means he was doing some real digging to go deep, deep, deep undercover to find the Will Hill dig.
Well, you know, he works hard. He doesn't work that hard, let's be honest.
So again, this was a retweet by you because, again, was this your belief after today's loss to Orlando? I mean, this reminded me
because there were a couple. If you click on the tweet, there are a couple people in the comments. Oh, Caris LeVert's not playing, like defending the Cavs, and they're like, oh, he can't know that LeVert is hurt or something. I was like, it's not about LeVert. It's not about one game. I don't buy this team.
Do you think they're in danger of losing this series to Orlando?
A little bit. I would still pick them, but hey, it's 2-2, best 2 out of 3. You better win Game 5. I thought the series was over at halftime today. I thought they were up 9, even though I don't have a lot of respect for them. Like, I don't think this Magic team's great. Now, hey, once you have a chance to bury a team and you let them off the mat, you're 2-2, it's best of 3. Anything can happen in the best of 3.
In that series, Cleveland is now minus $1.90. Orlando's plus $1.60. Yeah. Oh, I mean, by the way, I didn't play either game 1 or 2, and I know you were on the under, which was really smart plays there. Like, Orlando all of a sudden is getting offense.
Yeah.
They couldn't score, right? Now, all of a sudden, Cleveland's vaunted defense isn't so vaunted.
It's funny. This is the series nobody's watched, nobody's talked about. This might be the first time tonight we've mentioned it. Like, this has just kind of gone under the radar. This is kind of the forgotten series here.
Everybody, you don't have to grunt at the gym, all right? Will, good job defending your tweet. Daily Morning Bets is next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA all the way through the finals. DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered. Same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code VSiN. New customers can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's by using the code VSIN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. Back alongside Will Hill, Dave Ross here. It is time to get you ready for your daily morning bets.
This is VSiN's Daily Morning Bets. Here's your hosts, Dave Ross and Will Hill.
A good Sunday morning to you as you get ready to make your wagers for the day. We should begin with the NBA because we got 4 playoff games on the docket. Sadly, it feels like only one that I think you and I believe that the series could still be in doubt. Maybe we'll be proven wrong, but right now it feels like the first game of the day when you wake up on a Sunday morning, that Knicks and Sixers series feels like it's very live. Sixers right now, 4.5-point favorites in this one with a total of 209. I'm very curious. We've talked about it a lot on Sunday Bet Prep. How is the game going to be called, Will Hill? Because for me, I lean towards the Sixers, but until I know how it's going to be called and what style of game we're going to see here, that makes it a tougher handicap for me after what we saw in game three.
I would think the home team gets the calls. Just kind of the nature of the playoffs where tie goes to the runner. And when you're at home, you get those calls. So should be fun, should be physical early game. I'd probably look towards an under just because of that physicality. People always say game three, when it's 1-1, that's the series that swings it, or game five when it's 2-2. Obviously any game in a 7-game series is pivotal. To me, it's game four when the series is 2-1. That's sort of the swing series, because if the team up 2-1 wins, they kind of shut the door and they're up 3-1 and it's a commanding series. The series has a different feel, whereas opposed to the team that's trailing 2-1 ties it, then you're looking at like usually a 7-gamer. So I think these game fours when it's 2-1 are fascinating games. I think Philly wins. I think this is headed for 7. I would lay the 4.5 here with the Sixers.
Would you look at, and I'm going back to what we saw in Miami and Boston in game three, where the first quarter, I think the Heat had 12 points, right? Like, would you look at a first quarter? Because now it's 1-1, it's tighter, right? They played like they had nothing to lose in game two. They were shooting it freely. Felt like they got a little bit tight to begin the game now that it was a series again. Would you look for that tightness in this game four? Or do you think, all right, no, we've seen each other now for 3 games. We're going to get right to the offense.
Yeah, maybe a first half under, first quarter under. And again, it's an early game. That's 10 a.m. Pacific, I think, that tip tomorrow, which about 10 a.m. Pacific. Because when they say the game's going to start at 10, it's usually 10, 15, 10, 12, 10, 17. Just tell us when the game's going to start. Why? I don't know. I don't get these inexact things. It drives me crazy. I don't know, though. These players, they're night creatures. They play late, sleep late, wake up late, eat late. To play 10 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, sometimes you see a little slow start, a little groggy early. In these games, especially max intensity and defense. We talk about that a lot in the NCAA tournament, where these early start time unders can be a good play. But I do think Philly gets it done. I would look towards laying the points.
Clippers and Dallas. Clippers led 1-0. Everything looked good. Get Kawhi back. Oh, it's going to be the Clipper team we expect. Boy, odds makers are starting to doubt those Clippers. They're getting 6. Don't know about Kawhi. We do know about Dallas. And we do know that their big two has played a lot better than they did in game one. What's the key to this one here? And if the Mavs can take a stranglehold on this series with another home win, they'd be up 3-1.
Yeah, starting to get expensive. Again, this is a 2-1. This is a swing game, because I don't feel like this Clippers team, the state they're in with Kawhi, the state he's in, I don't think they can win 3 in a row against Luka, even though they'd have 5-7 at home. I think if Dallas wins tomorrow, the series is over. And I think Dallas wins tomorrow. Again, it's getting expensive at 6. You're not getting like a bargain here. I think it was 4.5 Friday night, but with Kawhi, the state he's in, I would only look towards layered. I think Dallas rolls again.
If this is a regular season game, again, we don't know about Kawhi, that total would be what, 220, 222? And now that we get game four of the playoffs, it's 208.5. Yeah. I mean, right? Is that properly adjusted in your estimation because of the Kawhi factor and because they got to play defense? I mean, the Clippers, you would think in order for the Clippers to win, it's got to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, and the Clippers don't have a lot of three-point shooting. They really don't. When Kawhi's not clicking, I mean, a lot of these guys are just – they play a lot of lineups with a lot of non-shooters. So I look towards Dallas. Plus, these games have been officiated so much differently, really, from the All-Star break on, where there's so much contact being allowed that affects the totals. We saw the unders make another comeback, where the overs were starting to catch up a little bit. The unders made a comeback on Saturday going 3-1. So no feel on the total. I hate laying points. I don't feel like I'm getting a discount here. I'd probably lay the 6 here with Dallas, though.
Yeah, maybe I'd look towards a money line parlay with the Sixers and the Mavs. If I did not really want to lay these numbers, starting to get a little bit pricey.
What's a Mavs Pacers money line parlay?
Because if we got to lay that 4.5, we got to lay the 6, right? I would kind of look to that. And we're laying 218 is what the Mavs are on the money line. Sixers are $1.92. So to parlay you get plus $1.21. Maybe a way to go there, just throwing that out there, because we both like the home teams here.
I'd rather go Mavericks Pacers money line minus 125 at DraftKings.
Oh, and that gets us to the next game, because you don't want to lay the 9.5 with the Pacers against the Bucks, but they're going to win the game if we don't have Dame and we don't have Giannis, right?
Famous last words. I would think so. Indiana's not at the point. I mean, we see this in the regular season a lot. These teams are missing their two best players and they go on and they win and you can't really explain it. That's a regular season thing. I don't know if that's in the playoffs. Indiana's not at the level where they're going to overlook anybody. Home crowd's not going to let them have a letdown. I think Indiana jumps on them here. Boy, do I want to sit here and just give out favorite after favorite after favorite. The way the playoffs have gone, it's not really that the worst idea. I can't get to laying the 9.5. Maybe a Milwaukee team total under, maybe a tie into Pacers, Mavs, moneyline parlay. Of all the games we talked about, I like Philly. I like a Pacers, Mavs, moneyline parlay. Those would be the two plays.
Well, if we want to try to find maybe a dog to play, would that dog be in the Valley of the Sun? We saw the Lakers push back and get off the deck, stave off elimination at home. Could the same be said for the Sun? I mean, look, at some point, you got to be a professional. You got to have some professional pride. I got to think the Suns, even more so than the Lakers, because it's the reigning defendings that they fell behind with Denver 3-0. And I don't know that how many people were really surprised by that. This feels like the shocker of the of the NBA playoffs so far, that the Suns are down 0-3 to this young T-Wolves team. And now I got to lay it with the T-Wolves to close it out in Phoenix. Is that where we're looking here and laying the two?
I don't love getting involved in game fours when the series down 3-0. We saw with Lakers Nuggets where everyone just assumed, oh, Lakers have blown all these games. They got nothing left. Denver's going to roll. Well, Denver was never really in the game, and the Lakers rolled. Sometimes the team up 3-0 doesn't show up because they know it's over. Hey, we got game five to close it out. We got six. We got seven. We did our job. We came here. We got our sweat. So maybe a little satisfaction shows up for Minnesota. I lean towards the Suns. I'm not betting it, though. Again, I don't love getting involved in these game fours when the series is 3-0. And I don't know if enough is being made of what a disaster this is for the Suns. They gave up everything for Durant. They gave up Bridges, a million picks, swaps, you name it. They gave up everything else they had for Beal to not be able to get out of the first round, to maybe not even win a game in the first round the next year. Oh, my goodness. What an absolute abject disaster this is turning out to be. I kind of like it.
I'm with you, though. I feel like because the Lakers are getting the brunt of all the fire, right, on X and everywhere else, that we just, the Suns are just kind of flying below the radar. Nobody's pointing. They should be getting blasted.
It's not a major market. People, you know, right? And it's interesting, too. Like, I loved Durant when he was with OKC and the Sonics. Okay, I didn't love that he went to the Warriors. He's taking a weird turn here where, the second half of his career is just kind of nomadic, bouncing from team to team, not happy. It's not working out. Very strange into his career. When you're going to look back on Durant's career, you know, you think of LeBron, you're still going to think, all right, he's a Heat or he's a Cav. You're going to think of these teams, you're going to associate with them players. Durant doesn't really have a team. He's not a Warrior. He's not a Thunder. He's not kind of anything. And I don't know, would they think about flipping him for picks this summer, saying, you know what, it's not working. Let's just give him one last chance to win. He was dying to leave Brooklyn and go to Phoenix. And it just, these players kind of get what they deserve sometimes when they ask out like this.
I mean, it seems like decades ago when it was, you the real MVP to his mom. And everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. Everybody. Media, everything. And then the heel
lived
turn.
With his mom, played video games. He was wholesome. Yeah, I agree. There's a heel turn.
It is amazing heel turn. Speaking of heel turns in Major League Baseball, Yankees are always a heel in my book. They're now sharing the lead with the Orioles. And I'm just wondering the state of the Bronx Bombers. Stroman's on the dish tomorrow. Going to be on the mound, rather, against Tobias Myers of the Brewers. So you got Stroman dealing. You're going to lay, I'm seeing right now, if you want to go run line Yankees, you get plus money at plus $1.30. Totals at 8.5. What's the state of the Yanks, and what about tomorrow in that game against the Brew Crew?
Yeah, I'm not seeing a money line for whatever reason on the Yankees. Are you seeing a money line?
No, that's what I just see the run line.
That's strange. Yeah, probably $1.35, $1.40. I'd look towards laying it with the Yankees. I don't know much about this Milwaukee pitcher, but better lineup for the Yankees. Stroman will give you a decent outing. I would look for the Yankees. Good bounce back effort on Saturday. So it would be a lean towards the Yanks.
And my Mets are dead. Jose Quintana's on the dish, on the bump, rather, against Lance Lynn. Lynn is plus $1.02 for the Cardinals. Beat the Mets yesterday. Quintana minus $1.22. I can't lay it with the Mets, can I?
I think the Mets bounce back, but the Mets just look like an even Steven 500 team. They get hot, they get cold. They're one step forward, one step back.
A lot of fun as always. Thank you, Will Hill. Thank you to Dan Drew, everybody behind the glass. Cash tickets. We'll see you next week right here on Sunday Bet Prep.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.